Hey guys, this is the Ordinary Radical Podcast. What's up? I'm Brandon here with my co-host Jonathan.
It's good to be here. You're listening to the podcast on discipleship and biblical living, featuring the conversation and Q&A concerning a wide variety of topics to help you grow disciples in the local church through leadership, discipleship, and mission. What's going on?
Well, we were just talking about a movie that's out right now that we had both seen, and we won't tell you about any superheroes or anything like that. That's not what we're going to be doing. But you did get to get out with your wife.
So. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I was going to tell you, like, man, there was an article I just read this morning that this student pastor spoiled at youth group. And this next generation of people were, they turn away from the gospel. And it was all that. I thought it was Babylon Bee, but it was somewhat a legit church article, a Christian article. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But anyway, we're not going to spoil it. But man, it was a great movie.
If you read the Babylon Bee, that is cool. But that is not to be taken literally. That is tongue-in-cheek Christian stuff. Yeah, for that movie, actually, I did something a little bit weird. Like, it's been sold out, and so I wanted to take my kids to see it, some of my boys. And I started at 8 p.m. looking at when we could go, and it was sold out all the way to 2:30 p.m. And I looked at it, and I was like, well, they're in school, but this is worth it. So I took them out of school, and we went and watched the good old end game. That's what we were talking about.
That's a good dad. You're a good dad.
Yeah, that's, you know, or totally a bad dad. I'm not sure how that works. Hey, but we're here and we're going to be, we have a really cool topic of conversation today. We're going to be talking about calling. And, you know, what is it? And we're going to kind of funnel this down actually into like general calling and more specific and even like when should I go? And we're going to try to fit all of this into one show. So
yeah, I think few things that we got to think about. Calling is not if you want to be liked, yeah, I'm just going to become a pastor and that's my calling. I think that's not a very good motive. You know, it's kind of like, well, if you want people to like you, then just go sell ice creams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, people are not going to like you really becoming a pastor or overseer or the preacher. You're going to just upset people, so that's not right motive or reason to become a pastor.
Yeah, other reasons not to become a pastor is that your parents, your dad's a pastor, or you just you really have this desire to be known or be popular, or these are just not reasons to do these things. When we look at calling, there's some examples. There's examples all throughout the Bible because God was always calling people to do amazing things for His glory. A couple that came to mind for me were David and Jeremiah for different reasons and from opposite spectrums, because David was a man after God's own heart. He had a calling to become king. Jeremiah was called to go talk to people who weren't going to listen to him, but he said, I have a burning within my being, my heart, that I have to speak. And so they're totally opposite, totally different, but still called by God, and they had to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're talking about internal calling. I think, you know, when we look at the New Testament, you know, what, Timothy, it says that if you feel called into the role of an elder, pastor, that's a noble calling, mm-hmm. right? So there's this internal calling. I know some young people will say, well, I need to be humble, and, you know, it's just wrong for me to want to become a pastor because I want to be popular or known. I want to stand on stage. But the reality is that Satan never tempts somebody to become a pastor or to mm-hmm. preach the gospel. So we know that's not a satanic or a wrong thing. It's a noble calling. It's a good thing. But also I do think when we look at, you know, you just mentioned Old Testament, when we look in the New Testament, I think we cannot only just determine the calling into internal calling, but there has to be somewhat of an external calling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And within that, people are going to be able to look at you and they're going to, people will be picking things out. One of the things in the life of Brandon is God has been calling me to plant a church. And I remember when I was thinking about that, my wife was the first one who came up to me, or one of the first, and said, hey, we're going to plant a church. And I even kind of fought it a little bit. I was like, I don't think that this is the calling that God has on my life. And but she picked it out, and then another pastor picked it out, and then someone. And so you have sort of this external people looking at you. At least that's what I'm taking whenever you talk about external calling.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's like, you know, truly your loved ones and people who really know you, like just like our family and our wives mm-hmm. or mentors, you know, such as Paul in our lives, they would affirm that calling, like, yes, I believe that is your calling. But also you can think just from a, you know, ordination standpoint, right? The church needs to affirm that. So like, let's say you have a desire to become a pastor, but you're, you know, I remember when I came to know the Lord when I was 16 and I knew I wanted to become a pastor. Mm-hmm. But a 16-year-old, biblically speaking, is probably not the wisest thing. There's not an age factor saying like, you got to be age 30 when Jesus started his earthly ministry to become a pastor.
Right.
You can be in your teens, become a pastor. It's just, it would be just be harder. And there's also the external calling thing, biblically speaking, like 1 Timothy 3, the qualification of the pastor, mm-hmm. right? So those need to match up. You know, I know a guy who said, hey, I became a pastor, ordained, and you know, I was able to officiate a wedding because I did it online on the certain denomination. We're not going to name it. But again, you know, if we go through the biblical, scriptural, faithfully, theologically driven, there has to be the internal calling, but also the external calling of a certain local church to affirm your calling, saying, yes, this is a way, and we affirm it, and we want to affirm that and send you out as a pastor.
So you're talking about a biblical ordination. Yes, you can go online and you can get a sheet of paper that has your name on it, but that's not God.
Yeah.
That's a printer and some ink. You know, like, and anybody can do that. I remember when I was in college, I was working at Walmart bagging groceries, right? And this guy comes up to me and he says, I just became a doctor. And I was like, well, congratulations. And then what he had done is gone to this thing online and just printed it off. And so he printed himself off as a doctor. Guess what? I'm not going to go to his practice. He's not looking at my tonsils, you know? No. So there is a specific calling and God moving. And one of the reasons for that is because it's the Holy Spirit's work that is doing the calling. You can't falsify the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working in you moves you towards something. When it comes to ordination, I had a whole slew of people that were over me and praying over me, and I had to go through some questions and things because we take this seriously. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, and what is ordination exactly? Maybe a listener is listening and they don't know what that means. What's ordination, Jonathan?
Yeah, I know that term's been thrown left to right, and you know, so I'm, you know, kind of newer to the SBC world, but there's also the sense of licensing into the ministry mm-hmm. and then ordination. But ordination is just a sense of like they're ordaining you as a church on behalf into the gospel ministry, they say.
Right.
I've been ordained into the gospel ministry. So it's just a certificate in a sense. It's licensing, but they're affirming and they're approving that, yes, they have gone through the proper process mm-hmm. With the elders or so forth, depending on your church polity, and affirming you and saying, yes, we commission you out as a gospel minister.
Right, and this is a New Testament idea, the idea of the elders and the people coming around you and laying hands on you and just really affirming you and sending you along. And that's, if you have a real passion for God, I mean, there's something to that,
yeah.
To that calling. But I was talking to Jonathan earlier before we started our show. I have a friend who's in a church, and the church is just not interested in ordination. Not that this person is not qualified, but the church is just, that's just not something they want to do. And that's a hard one. I get that. So it's not really God calls you. It is really a Holy Spirit, God calling you deal. And then the church affirms that. And if you're in a church that's not willing to work, you got one of two choices. One, either they're not following through with what they should do as a local church, or two, you might want to question and talk to them and have a real conversation. Do you really think I'm called?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So I just want to piggyback on that. You know, a lot of times this process takes a long time, and I would just say, you know, patiently work through that. That's not my gift. You know, I often ask, God, I want patience right now.
Right now.
So that process usually takes long. There has to be some kind of relationship that's been built and staying there. So if you're a listener and you're younger and you've maybe waited for a year, I'll just encourage you to be stay put so they can see your consistency of character. You know, just like I remember my mentor told me, like, Jonathan, skills can get you into ministry, but only integrity will keep you in ministry.
That's good.
So integrity and character and skill sets need to all be meshed together. But again, I think, you know, one of the things that it's, you know, specifically asking, okay, Jonathan, how do you know I'm specifically called to a specific location, a specific vocation?
Right.
So let's talk about that, just like, you know, the mission field and, you know, Pastor, when is that timing and where? And do you have any insight for that, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, whenever I was in seminary, I thought I was going to be a Christian counselor. I thought that was my calling. But what I was really doing is kind of creating a calling for myself, because I have a love for relationships. I love sitting and talking to people. And I thought, well, if I love to do it, it must be what I'm supposed to do. But that's not necessarily the way it works, because God had a different plan. I ended up working with students, and then I realized at that point, really, God was calling me to student ministry. Now, if you have children, you know that a degree in counseling is very helpful with student ministry. We didn't talk to those kids a lot. But it ended up just, it 180'd on me, and caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. And the way that they ended up coming was, we went to a church, we got plugged in. So if you're looking at calling, why don't you get plugged in at a church? Because you need to be plugged in. Mm-hmm. Why don't you try some areas out and serve? And eventually, probably one of those, something's going to pop up where you're going to go, wow, this is sort of God. I'm supposed to be working with the kids. I'm supposed to be in a service ministry. I'm supposed to do the coffee. Maybe I'm supposed to be a deacon. I need to take the trash out so that the pastor doesn't have to do that and worry about that as he's writing a sermon. And so there's calling for just local Christians, and then also those going into ministry as well.
Yeah, so, you know, specifically speaking on that, again, you know, the local church is, in a sense, like a laboratory. It's a laboratory. You're working through, you're experiencing, you're experimenting, and seeing your gift set. Because pastor, again, when we think about a pastor, we think about the preaching pastor up front. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, if you're, you know, like I grew up in Japan, the only pastor I knew was the lead pastor, because it was a small church, 40 people, and the pastor had 11 kids. And so it was pretty much the pastor's family is the whole church, right? So for me, I didn't know until I came to the States. And, you know, I went to Moody Bible Institute, and I was going to double major because I love music. And that's kind of like the role I do right now, in a sense. I do discipleship as well. But then I was like, I was in a dilemma. I had to pick one or the other, pastoral ministry or music ministry. And I just knew my calling inward, just the sense that I wanted to shepherd God's flock. So, like, understanding shepherd, again, is an overarching, just pastor, bishop, overseer, elder. Those are all the same word, actually, when we see the pastoral epistles. Again, it just depends what are you looking at the Greek. But what, you want to be a missions pastor? Do you want to be a counseling pastor? Do you want to be a student pastor? Do you want to be a music worship pastor? It just depends where God has gifted you in that calling, executive pastor, teaching pastor. So I would just encourage, you know, just kind of dive into that role and understand what that role entails in the relationship that you build. And then in that role, how that lays out the responsibilities that you have. And the church is a good place to just kind of begin to experiment and see. And just so you know, when you dive into it, God may just begin to stir within your hearts that maybe you have thought in seminary when you learned that, oh, it's a glorious grandeur of endeavor of a journey. Well, actually, I think Brandon will agree with me. A lot of times, pastoral ministry is really like kind of folding clothes, taking in and out the laundry. It's very mundane, and week to week, we do the same thing over and over. And it's not as glamorous in the spotlight at times, standing in the pulpit and preaching. But God calls shepherds to that task of weeping with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice, and walking alongside of them, edifying them for the sake of the Great Commission ministry, for the gospel advancement.
Yeah. And as we talk about the local church and getting plugged in, I was thinking about that also. A lot of the times pastors will ask people in the church to do something, and they may respond in a couple ways. One, I'm not called to that, and that's their way of saying no. Right? That's almost a vain way of just saying, you know, God hasn't, and we don't really know because we haven't tried. Or maybe I'll pray about that. And that often is also another way we say no. Or I'm going to prolong this until you pick someone else. One thing that I did whenever I was in church and before I was just, one of the elders, was whenever I was asked to do something, if I could legit do it and I had no real reason, I would say sure. Right? And so I ended up working music and children, and I ended up working all these things to learn and see what I enjoy. And just be willing to say yes. That's what I'm trying to say to that. Mm-hmm. Then you could find roles and places that you want, and also be willing to put in your time. There's so many young pastors that want to come out and you know, be a John Piper. Like, they want to come out and they want to write books and everybody's going to know them and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And it's like, well, you're going to have to put in your time. You may be an associate. You may be in a different spot, and allow God to speak into you and to mold you. I'm not the same pastor today that I was when I went into ministry a billion years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I just want to encourage young people to not underestimate your age, but also just encourage you to just kind of persevere through that. You know, I think Charles Spurgeon said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. And, you know, stay put and be patient, be humble and willing to learn. And God may take you in certain areas, but it doesn't necessarily always mean you're going to jump into a certain role. I think faithfulness is important with our churches. Right. All around, it seems like. And, you know, Jesus didn't get into ministry till age 30. I think about Martin Luther, the Protestant Reformation, that he began. He was at age 33, I think, when he put the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg door. And so, you know, again, don't estimate your age. Don't say that, well, until you're age 50, you can't really become a pastor. Start where you're at. Be faithful. And I think the Lord will reap the harvest, whatever that means. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to, at age 23, graduate a seminary, you have a master of divinity, you're going to get a job right away. Just kind of jump in, try to be faithful where you're at. And I think God will see that, and He will bless you because of your faithfulness.
Absolutely. So we've kind of talked about calling and ordination, specific callings, and also to piggyback on the specific callings, there's missions and there's all kinds of roles you can look into. Be willing to kind of study a little bit and see where you're at on that. Also, if you have like a plan to do missions, you need to know what it takes to accomplish that. You know, for a lot of missions agencies, they won't take you if you have a certain amount of debt and things like that. So you want to know that ahead of time. Otherwise, I mean, I have known someone that, I'm going to go be a missionary. You have debt. You're not going to be a missionary, mm-hmm. you know? And so that holds them to the side. But in this sort of last segment, and we've really moved along, actually, but when to go, when not to go. You know, you're at your church and you're struggling a little bit over, is God moving you? So I'd like to talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, and I guess I understand, for especially for younger millennial or maybe even Gen Zs who are listening, it's just like, man, I feel like I've been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Been here 5 years. I've been here 10 years, and my passion seems like changing. You know, mm-hmm. it seems like God is calling you to a new calling, just like Brandon was talking about.
Right.
You know, we're not the same as before, and we ought not to be, right? That's the process of sanctification, progressive sanctification, that God transform our hearts and our minds and our talent and skill set. So when, I guess that's hard, but for me personally, I look at two things, the push in ministry and the pull in ministry. So what I mean by that, the push is people affirming and saying, Jonathan, you should look into this and you should go elsewhere. Again, that's where you have to use discernment, because people could be manipulative. I'm sorry, people are sinful. They have whatever reason. So you got to really understand, again, do they really know you? Do they have the best interest in you? So there has to be that push. But you shouldn't leave only with the push. There has to be some kind of pull. Because if you're just desperate, you want to get out of a situation because, I'm sorry, ministry is tough. You will feel like, especially like on Mondays, after you preach a sermon, but nobody's responding, you feel like, well, am I really called in this ministry? Should I do it? And da 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 da, conflict. You know, you shouldn't go if there's not a pool. You're going to probably just be miserable and go into an area that God wasn't calling you. So there has to be some kind of pull in ministry that people are seeking, affirming, and saying, yes, I think you're, this is where God wants you to call, is calling you, and you know, step into that with obedience. Does it make sense? Would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of pastors get all, they get tangled up with, and I don't know what the right word would be, but it'd be sort of like a pastoral roadblock. Like we hit pastoral roadblocks and we don't know what we're going to do about those. And so some people misread those spots in their life as, well, I guess God is probably calling me elsewhere. And that's not always true. Sometimes God's just saying, stay where you are, let me keep molding you, and just wait and be patient. In youth ministry, for all you youth pastors out there, I hope you know that youth ministry comes like waves. And so you'll have a certain type of a group of kids, and then you know, coming right after them, you may have a lower wave that's not a group of leaders, and that can be really frustrating because you graduate this group of kids, and then you turn around and you go, oh, we lost all of our leadership, we've lost everything, I've been pouring all this, and so there can be a roadblock, an emotional roadblock right there, and that doesn't mean God's calling you somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But people do that, and that's probably why youth ministry is one of the fastest turnovers for any pastoral role. They are quick to turn over, and youth pastors are quick to go take senior pastor roles, and people even look at youth pastoring like the entrance into being a pastor.
Yeah. They said like in SBC, statistically, it may have changed, but they said youth pastor position lasts maybe 1.5. So like...
Yeah, 1.5 years.
Yeah, 1.5 years. And that's, I mean, can you imagine just... be in a church and build relationship. But I remember Tom Rainer, he was the CEO of Lifeway Christian Resource. But he came up with a study just talking about, it just really helped me understand. But he said like, you know, the first 10 years or 20 years of ministry, he said the first year and a half, and it's not the magic number, but he said the first year and a half is really you're in the honeymoon stage. People want to get to know you and they're building relationship with you, they're testing you. But after a year and a half, you're going to go through a season of conflict.
Right.
And that they said that could go 5 to 6 years.
Right.
And then after that, then you come to a stage that people really trust you and they're like, oh, he's not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
He's here. He's all in. And then you go through a stage. And then usually they said like 9, 10 years, then your church begins to go into a season of trust and growth and harvest. And then you go 15. And again, I'm kind of paraphrasing some of these, but it was really just helpful for me to know. So, you know, sometimes people just leave. I was like, well, I just hit a roadblock. Well, it may be because the honeymoon stage of your ministry ended.
Right.
And conflict comes because people like to stay the same. People don't like change.
Right.
Right? Only babies like change when I talk about the diaper change. So if you're implementing changes, people are not going to be happy. And people want to stay in their comfort. But again, the gospel beckons us to a change in our life, in our behaviors, in our belief. And we cannot be just comfortable, casual, nominal Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So as leaders, we have to cast that vision, call people out, and people are not going to be happy. But that's not wrong. Because the calling of a pastor, again, like we mentioned, is not about being liked, not being popular, not seeking comfort, right? A lot of it is dying to self, actually. Mm-hmm.
And so as you take those steps, you make sure you're in prayer. Make sure you're in the confidence of other Christians that you can talk to. With my church, I told you that I'm the youth pastor right now, but I'm transitioning out. We'll be planting a church at the end of next year. And this is something that God has been working in me for 2 years. But I told my pastor really early on, like this, I'm struggling a little bit and I wanted to talk to you about it. Because I've been in youth ministry now for a long time. I knew that I needed to try to make sure that it wasn't a roadblock, just an emotional down, just a little spiritual depression in my life. And it wasn't. It's the real deal. And then I know God is actually moving in this. And God has brought other people to my life to say, this is the plan. And at this point, now it would be a lack of faith on my part to stay.
Yeah, so to answer the question, when to go and where to go and not to go, again, to answer the question, context matters. Context really does matter.
Mm-hmm.
And God could use those downtimes to reveal some things, and God begins to open doors. And I think it would be sinful for us to say, no, because I said I'm going to stay here 5 years. You know, maybe God may change that.
Mm-hmm.
So just be in tune the Spirit of God, like Brandon said, be in prayer. And I think God's going to begin to reveal that to you. But don't make a quick decision. That's all I would say. Mm-hmm. And have people be praying for you. I think that's a key.
And as we close this out, I also want you to think about, if you are leaving, think about how you're leaving, because that's still a testament to who Jesus is. I knew a pastor a long time ago who told me that leaving a church was like a divorce. Mm. Wow. And I thought, that's an awful analogy. It shouldn't be painful. It shouldn't be separation. The way that I leave, I want to leave supported, and I want to leave loved, and I want to leave with the church knowing that they're in good hands and that God is working. So know how you're leaving, because it makes a difference.
Yeah, I think like passing the baton, or succession plans.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are really important, and that kind of ties into discipleship. But you should always be ready, because you're training leaders, you're equipping them. Whenever you leave, again, at the end of the day, it's not Jonathan Hayashi's ministry or
that's right.
Brandon Boldner's ministry. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. Christ is ahead, as 1 Corinthians 12 said. So always thinking about the future, always equipping and training, discipling, so the church is not in a crisis because they lost one of the major leaders. I think that's important. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't have anything else. You good?
No, I'm good. This is great talk.
Yeah, we really moved along on this one. I know we typically sort of do a flyby. If there's an issue that you want us to get really deep into, why don't you let us know about that, and maybe we can fit a show in about that. But we do the best that we can. So I feel good with this show. I feel good.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you guys.
Ciao.